I just want to put two verses up there for review, and then if we could have some help with the verses in the verse list, or I'll call them out and we could go from there. God, in His grace and in His provision, did give us a full ability and enablement and equipment to overcome the infirmities in our life, the sin in our members. As far as Romans, we're in Romans 8. God gave us the equipment and the ability to overcome these infirmities in our life, and to, well, like 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Well, that was in Acts 19. It was before some of the later revelations to Paul. And it's true, you know, but the way to escape is by His imputed righteousness that we have. Well, he knew about, you know, Paul knew about the righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30, he talks about God's righteousness coming to us. But now, the Holy Spirit lives within believers as our earnest of our redemption, and also as our seal, holding us in place no matter what winds of doctrine come along, what difficulties we go through. So well, let's just read these two verses and then go into some other notes as we're going to look back a little bit here to retrace some of our enablement, some of the ability that God builds into us because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. Be renewed in... Okay, hope you get better. That seems to be going around. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there was the first Adam. First man is Adam. And now there's, after Christ died for our sins, there's a new man. And we're to put that on. We're to be baptized into Christ, baptized into the body of Christ, baptized into His death by one Spirit. So, from here, let's take a look at Romans chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 11 and go through some verses as we see what they're saying and how they help us in our Christian life. 6:11, let me get that up there. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me just echo it again. You can fake yourself out sometimes and reckon things that are just hope-sos, but when you've got the Word of God, when you've got a promise and a fact to stand on, then you can reckon it to be so, and there's a benefit that comes from it. You reckoning it to be yours, you are receiving it. It's not just out there as an offer to you. You're receiving it at your end. For instance, everybody is reconciled. The world is reconciled, but not everybody receives the reconciliation. And it's a two-sided thing. People have to receive what God has provided. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. A gift needs to be received. Just like the righteousness of God in Romans 3:22 and 21 and 22. So, Paul tells us that God enables us to use the facts to deny sin access to our lives. Use these facts that we are dead to sin. Romans 6:2, we are dead to sin. Use that fact to deny Satan the ability to affect us, to affect you. Now we can deny from entrance into our lives the sin that Satan would have us to do. He wants to bring you down. And he makes it look glorious and attractive. So, let's go on to verse 12. Let me just put that up there. Click, click, click. Sorry about this. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Well, we've often said you can let things happen. This says don't let it happen. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. You have the ability to stop it, from reigning. Not necessarily the ability to never sin again. It's not saying that. But it's in your members that the sin occurs. It's not your mind and your belief system, your trust in Christ to have died for all that sin that's still in your members. Neither yield ye yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Well, that says it's a lot of the same impact as Romans 6:16 and Romans 6:19. I like that term, instruments. You think about a surgeon with his instruments, a scalpel or whatever he's got there. The light, the huge light that's overhead so that he can see without any question, any doubt. He's got his instruments. What would he be able to do without his instruments? He works through his instruments. God calls us to yield our members as instruments of righteousness, which God can work through. We need to make the choice. We make that choice. It's in our soul. It's your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your will uses your mind and your emotions to make a choice. But that's all in your soul. You choose to let the Spirit have His way in your life, or you choose to let the old man, your old nature, your old man, sin, and the Adam nature that you've got, that we all have, to let those urges control your life. You can make the choice, though, now that you've got the Holy Spirit within you, Christ in you. So let's go to verse 14, Romans 6:14, a well-known verse. Paul declares that God frees us from the law. For sin shall not have dominion over you. There it is again. You don't have to follow sin anymore. You've got a choice. But you must make the choice. For you are not under the law, but under grace. So Paul tells us of the power that God gives us to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. And that's what he's saying, that we are enabled by God to yield to be instruments to God, instruments of righteousness. And especially notice verses 15 through 19, verse 22. We're going to go through them now. Look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? It should be screaming in your minds, no, that's not what God's saying. God forbid, it says here. Know you not that, this is verse 16, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And therein is the choice that we have. You can yield one way or the other, and the result will be in kind. Verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin. In other words, you make the choice, God does the work. He makes you free. You became servants of righteousness. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now, just like you used to do that, do this. Yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness, or set apartness. Verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now, it's not saying that by resisting sin you have everlasting life. He's talking about believers that have come through Romans 3, 4, and 5 and have believed the gospel. They're saved. And they're recognizing that God imputes His righteousness in us. That His righteousness, when we choose to follow His leading in righteousness and obedience, He does the work in our lives. These people that have this ability to choose this because they've got this Holy Spirit in their life, and they've been baptized by that one Spirit into the body of Christ, the end for them is everlasting life, because they're in the body of Christ by believing the gospel, and they're saved. God saves them. So everlasting life comes to them. But He doesn't save them because of what they later do after believing the gospel, that they later become servants to God and you have to get them in the right order to understand what the Scripture is saying. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God stepped in the way of that death, didn't He? And He took that death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we now move on into chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Paul tells us that being dead to the law, we have a new spiritual life to walk in. It's a new existence, it's like getting a new you. Verse 5, let's start in 7, verse 5. Look there. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, big change there, isn't it? We are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So he's obviously addressing Jews here in this portion, because he's addressing the letter to everybody there, to all that be in Rome. But he picks who he's talking to and identifies them as he goes along. Those that were under the law is who he's talking to in verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now that we're delivered from the law, he's saying to them. So, and that's confirmed in Romans 6:14 that we read earlier. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And in verses 7 to 14, Paul shows that the carnal flesh insists on sinning. I mean, that's sin in our members is what he's bringing us to understand about. We're still saved. It's just that we're never told that we'd be perfect here. We're saved from sin, from the sins and the wages of sin. So God's wrath against sin we're saved from. Let's look at 12. Romans 7, chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Verse 13, was then that which is good made death to me? That sounds like Isaiah 5:20, doesn't it? Like he's questioning it. Woe unto them that say good is bad and bad is good. We see that in the world today. People that claim that it's good to kill people of other faiths, and you know, that makes me a better person to murder people, and mass murder is better yet. No, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. And in other words, you and I can look at the law and see that we don't begin to measure up to a lot of the standards in the law. So it's not just a matter of one sin, it's over the whole gamut of the law. We fall short, and we don't it that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. We know we're sinners, if we're honest with ourselves, because of that. So we know, going on to verse 14 in chapter 7, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. And then in 15 to 20, he really pinpoints the dichotomy that we've got going on in us. Paul warns of the difference in our the newness of our spirit, the new man, difference between that and the oldness of the flesh, the old man, serving the letter of the law. There's a difference. We can see that difference, especially look at verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it. In other words, in my mind, I've decided that Christ did die for my sins, that my sins are all died for, he paid for them, and he's saving me, he has saved me. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So sin in my members, he goes on to say, is exceeding sinful. But I'm saved from, that's what Christ saves us from, isn't it? From the wrath of God against disobedience to him, or whatever else, not believing him. God is wrathful. He's not wrathful right now. Right now he's in grace, gracious to us, offering us salvation from the wrath to come. But the wrath will come. That's another side of God. Just like God is both loving and merciful, they're different things, but they're positive. There's also, I'm trying to think of some other negative ones, but there is the wrath of God, and it's a fact. God does have wrath. Just because you don't see it now doesn't mean it's not coming against all unrighteousness. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. In other words, I want to do good, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He's stymied. Look at verse 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So Paul defines the opposing forces of the law of God in the inward man against the law of sin in my members. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, And not everybody has an inward man, you know, that's awakened or brought to life, quickened by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and sealing us in the body of Christ. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Verse 23. So, that was verse 23. But Paul writes that God made me free from the law of sin and death, and that's significant, as you can tell just from hearing it, that God made you something, and it was freeing. He made you free from something. That the law of sin and death, the operation of sin and death in our lives, is what we've been made free from by God Himself. He's able to do it too. Not by your own trying, but by accepting it, believing that He made you free and living it out, making that choice to live by His power within you. So let's go to verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Going on to the next verse, Romans 8:1. There is therefore, because of all that we just went through, because of that, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, describe those who are in Christ Jesus then. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They're able to. They've been enabled to. They've been quickened by God, by Jesus Christ in their life. Go to verse 2 in Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And thank you for posting, Gracie. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, not the law, but the righteousness of the law, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, that's the same, that's describing the same person as in verse 1, Romans 8:1. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the only ones that are able to do that are those that have accepted, received God's conditions for salvation, to believe that He died for my sins and rose for my justification. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's a difference. You can gauge yourself. What am I following? What am I after? Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you wonder why everything is not perfect in your life. When the moment you receive Christ as your Savior, you have an old man's, I'm trying to think of the term that was used back there, carnally minded members still working in you until you're caught up to be with the Lord. Then there's a change. You know, the Bible says there is a spiritual man, and there is a natural man, and there is a spiritual man. And you lose that natural, that sin in my members when you're caught up to be with the Lord. So verse, we read 7. Let's go to 8. 8 through 11 in Romans. And Paul identifies our position as belonging to Christ, as having his spirit and being not in the flesh. Especially when you look at verses 8, 9, and 10. Let's do that. Romans 8:8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So you don't go around seeking how to get the Spirit in you. So you get saved, and God puts the Spirit in you. If you're seeking God, you know, believe what he says, and he puts his Spirit within you. By one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So that guarantees that everybody that does was purchased by Christ at the cross and has received that salvation, every one of us has the Spirit of Christ. So there's no time gap there. There's no time between when you receive. There's not a while there that you don't have the Spirit of Christ before Christ comes into you. It's all instantaneous. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Not you trying to be good. You choosing to let God be good in you, be the righteousness that he's put in you. So let's look at 12 through 15. Paul tells good news, and this whole section is good news, really, isn't it? That we can mortify. We can do it. We can mortify not by our own doing, but the deeds of the flesh, and we do it through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit living within us and living by that Spirit of God instead of living by our urges, our ambitions, or whatever else, you know, may be driving us as old I was going to say as old men, but I don't think that gets the idea across in this case, as people of carnal attitudes. It's talked about putting off the old man and putting on the new, but the way I phrased it there, I don't think it would have gotten it across. So we can mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. And let's look at verses 13 and 15. Romans 8, 13 and 15. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So that's the battleground. That's what's happening. And let me just remind you, if you're unclear about this, where it talks about everlasting life, eternal life, things like that in there, it's not saying it in a sense that's a private interpretation apart from the rest of Scripture. The rest of Scripture tells you how to be saved and have this benefit. Whether you have... not the rest of Scripture, but in the rest of Scripture we find out Paul's gospel by which we're saved and have the Spirit within us, and the righteousness of God is imputed to us, and all these benefits that go along with it. You don't get it by trying to be good or trying to yield to the Spirit that you hope is in there. You have to get saved first. That's what I'm saying. That salvation yields the life that you can live out here on earth by mortifying the deeds of the body. You shall live. So in our daily life, we have to realize that God, in the inward man, will eventually be victorious over sin in my members. And that's all part of trusting God. Remember, we talked about the guarantee, because he said that we will be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what every believer has coming. I mean, God is going to do it. It's not something that, well, maybe I'll make it, maybe I won't. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. There's no doubt about it. It's predestinated. He predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that happens when we get to heaven. We will be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's, you know, that's not any dichotomy there. That's leaving sin behind. So we're thankful of that. But that's all part of trusting God and receiving the righteousness of God within us. Romans 5:17. Receive that gift of righteousness and the grace of God. And it's all part of the unprophesied revelation of the mystery that Paul is talking about in this second section of second fourth of Romans. Second quarter maybe is easier to comprehend. But we've gone through a summary of this second quarter of Paul's Roman epistle about godly living and our ability to do it. It's it's by being I was going to make it a verb, but enabled, I guess, would be the verb, not abilified. God enables us to do it is if we make the choice to follow his will and his leading in our life. But it's all by Christ. It's all by his doing in us. Just as he did it all when he saved us. Back to Colossians 2:5. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. So we'll pick up here to study some things that Paul says that really clinch all of this. They prove it all. Let's go into Romans 8:16. 16 through 25 actually, and we'll hit some of those verses. But Paul, during that section there, Paul tells of the hope that God gave us of a future resolution. In the future, we're not going to struggle like this forever. It's a resolution to the internal struggle of spirit over flesh. Those are the two opposing sides fighting within us, and that's the battle line. So the point is that God gives us a hope. He tells us that there is a bright future for us. It's a different bright future than Israel's, but we do have a bright future. There is a future that will be free from this struggle that we're going through, this infirmity. And that future hope is what we talk about when we talk about the blessed hope. We all yearn for that blessed hope, the redemption of our body. Look at verse 23, Romans 8:23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So we've summarized up to the last few parts. In Romans 8:26-30, Paul says that the Spirit helps our infirmities. He helps us in these infirmities, this struggle that we're going through. It's a battle. It's severe. It's not coasting. I call it a struggle to highlight it, but actually God's power is far stronger than any sin and death working in us. Sin and death has already been destroyed. God did... He gave us the full ability and equipment to overcome this in our lives. It's not that we'll be sinless. We are sinners. That's the only way we can come to God for salvation is by realizing that we are sinners. And we will be until the redemption of the body at the appearance, I should say, in the clouds. to catch us up, the appearance of Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit lives within us now. He's our earnest, and He's our seal. He is the seal by which we're sealed. And later on in Ephesians 4, verses 23 and 24 that we started with, Paul tells us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We mentioned briefly some of the equipping that which Paul teaches that we now have. So let's go back and start through following through there with his teachings. And we'll start in Romans 8:2, and we're going to hit them rapid fire here. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Believers can determine which they are after in this battle. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 15, and then we'll hit 18 and 21. But verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So it's being in God's family. We're in that family. It's that intimate with God. God is enabling and equipping us to be godly sons. Look ahead into Romans 8:18. For I reckon, make it so in your life, reckon it, receive it. I reckon that the sufferings in this present time, that's this struggle, this battle that we're talking about in this whole section. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Glory in us. So let's reckon it also, you and me. We can reckon it. We can receive the power that God has for us to live the daily life and to be after the Spirit, not after the flesh or carnality. And finally, let's close with Romans 8:21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There is a bright future ahead. Okay, I'm done.